In a world full of rush and hurry, it's so important to set aside time to just be still. To reconnect that vital relationship with a God who loves and wants to be close to you. So sit back and settle in for the next few minutes. And welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello friends, and welcome back to another episode of Common Prayer. My name is Kevin, and I am so glad to be leading our time of prayer together. Just grateful for you all tuning in. I love the idea of so many of us listening to this in different places, at different times, but yet still united in prayer, united together in the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and so grateful for you to do that. And my goodness, I hope you have been enjoying this fall weather of late. It is just beautiful around the Bay Area. So many ways I'm reminded of how just gorgeous this place that we get to call home is. And this time of year in particular, it's my all-time favorite time of the year. We get to experience that a little more crispness in the air. The leaves are changing colors. I mean, it's just a constant reminder of God's love and God's creativity. So anyway, I'm grateful for that. And I am, again, glad to lead our time together. Why don't we slow down here and let's begin with just a minute of silence, an opportunity to leave behind the work stress, the anxiety, the family, whatever it is that you've got kind of bogging your mind down. Let's lead with a little bit of a time of silence to step into the presence of God that is with us today. Our scripture reading for today comes from the first four verses of Isaiah chapter 10. Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees, to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What will you do on the day of reckoning when disaster comes from afar? To whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? Nothing will remain but to cringe among the captives or fall among the slain. Yet for all of this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. You know, the Old Testament narrative, in so many ways, is this story of God's people to which he has claimed, he has called, continuing to fail to live up to the high calling of being God's people. You know, following kind of the origin story of Genesis, in which God creates and he brings together his kind of, the basis of his anthropology, of what he believes about humanity and creation and all of this, you know, the next narrative further into the story is sin has wreaked havoc throughout creation, and his people are now enslaved under this oppressive injustice of slavery to the Egyptians. And for a lot of the Jews, the story actually begins in Exodus, is the narrative begins with God liberating his people. And it's this Exodus narrative in which God goes and saves his people for none other reason than he wanted to save his people. This becomes the dominant motif that will replay itself throughout the entirety of the scriptures. I mean, you see it over and over again, the same sort of rhythm where God's people are enslaved to something or someone. They are powerless against it. God comes in and saves, and then they're liberated. Again, from that thing, from that sin, from that nation, from that empire, whatever it is. But this idea of God being this liberative force in the world is replayed over and over because, again, ultimately what Paul would say is that the whole story is pointed towards the reconciliation of all things. It's all of creation being freed from the power and the oppressiveness of injustice and sin and all that is breaking it. But what happens, there's this other part of the story that oftentimes we overlook, and I think we overlook it, frankly, because we don't want to deal with it. But it's the fact that, you know, after God's people are liberated, they often come into a space of power. They come into a position in which they have a sort of dominant place. And what you see often, far too frequently, is that when they reach that space, the desire of God's people is to be like all the other nations. So they say, give us a king like all the other nations. Give us a land like all the other. They want to rule in the same way the world does. And what happens way too frequently is that those who were oppressed, God's people, become the oppressors. There's this damaging line in which this foreign queen comes and confronts Solomon as he's building the temple, and he's building it on the backs of slaves. He's building the very house of God using slave labor, not too far removed from the story of his people who were once enslaved. And so you see this just devastating story repeat itself over and over. And what happens is the prophets, this band of prophets that you see pop up over and over in Israel's history, become these voices that cry out from the injustice, and they demand that God's people return to the way God would want them to lead. And so here in Isaiah 10, you actually see them calling out the injustice. And it's actually here, it's not so much the people of Israel, it's rather the Assyrian Empire, which was to come. And he talks about that in the next few verses. But you see these prophetic voices that are calling out the people against those who perpetuate brokenness throughout the world. And so you get this just powerful text where the prophet is saying, woe to you if you make unjust laws. Woe to you if you deprive the poor, or if you make widows your prey, or rob the fatherless. And you see this sort of trio in which the Old Testament and the prophets continually speak against that the people of God are to take care of the poor, the widow, and the orphan. And the principle is this, is that the people of God rule and take positions of power in a far, vastly different way than the world does, because they do so with the lens and the love of God, which is always bent towards the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized, those who are helpless, whether it's because they're caught up in systemic sin, or whether they're caught up in their own sin, or whether they're the victims of an oppressive system that keeps pushing them down. Isaiah says, woe to you if you continually push down the oppressed. Woe to you if you perpetuate these systems of brokenness. And certainly our world has been flipped upside down of recently as we've wrestled with some of these things. And oftentimes they get, quite frankly, difficult and sticky and political to deal with. But the problem is this, is that God has called us as the people of God to be attentive to these issues. You know, as Christians in America, we would be wise to pay heed when the scriptures and the prophets speak out against the world powers of their day, because we live in the most powerful nation in the world. And so as Christians, we have a unique position, a unique place in which we must navigate with humility and care to what God would say to us. How would God have us live as faithful followers of Jesus in this time? I think at minimum he would have us fight for justice and righteousness regardless of whatever political party we find those issues on. It means that we stand out against issues of economic oppression, of issues of racism, of abortion, of all of those things that we find against the way of God, against the healing and reconciliation of all things. We stand out against those because we are not beholden to political parties, but we are beholden to a gospel that is working to liberate an enslaved creation. So what I want to do for our time of prayer together is I want us to just think through this prayer that actually I found that, and I think is beautiful. It's one that the church has used for many years. And it simply says this. Let me read it, and then we'll break it down into three particular parts. So why don't you, again, slow down, get comfortable where you are. Let me read this prayer, and I'll stop at every point here and just pose a question for you to entertain with the Holy Spirit. It says this. It says, Almighty God, you created us in your own image. Grant us grace to contend fearlessly against evil and to make no peace with oppression. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to maybe highlight the ways that you can contend fearlessly against evil, making no peace with oppression. I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to reveal maybe those areas in which we've drifted like Israel and lost the narrative. Where have you found that you have aligned yourself more with issues that resonate with a political posture than it does with issues that resonate with the liberating gospel of Jesus Christ? The prayer goes on. It says, help us to use our freedom rightly in the establishment of justice in our communities and among the nations, to the glory of your holy name. I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit how it is that you can use your freedom that we are so grateful for in this country to establish justice in our communities and in our nation. For the Christian, freedom is different than the way the world views freedom. Freedom to the Christian is always meant to provide us the opportunity to stand up for the vulnerable. Whereas the world views freedom so that they can live however they please and without restraint. That's freedom from a worldly perspective. But from the way of Jesus, freedom is always freedom for the sake of others. So where is it that God's calling you to use your freedom to establish justice in our communities and in our nation? Prayer ends, I think, really appropriately. It says this. It says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. See, none of this work of justice can be done apart from the way of Jesus. For it is through Jesus Christ that we are able to do this because he lives and he reigns as King over all creation. So I invite you to ask the Holy Spirit, to say, Holy Spirit, how do I do this through the presence of Jesus Christ today? And Holy Spirit, remove all that hinders me from following more intimately and closely to the way of Jesus. Spend a moment praying that. Let me just read this prayer one more time as we close. Almighty God, you created us in your own image. Grant us grace to contend fearlessly against evil, and to make no peace with oppression, and to help us to use our freedom rightly in the establishment of justice in our communities and among the nations, to the glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. You can now access and subscribe to Common Prayer episodes on the Google Podcast Store, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Of course, you can always check back daily right here for episodes at CPC.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.